Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Comes bobbing along, along. There'll be no more sobbing when he stops robbing his home. Sweet song, wake up, you sleepyhead. Get up, get out of bed. Cheer up, the sun is red. Live, love, laugh and be happy. What if I be blue? Now I'm walking through fields of flowers. Rain may glisten, but still I listen for hours and hours. I'm just a kid again, doing what I did again, singing a song. When the red, red Robin comes bob, bob, bobbing along.
Discipline and missed chances cost the Addicts once more as Lincoln earned their first ever win at the Valley. Welcome to Charlton Live. Hello everybody and welcome to Charlton Live on your Sunday evening. I hope you guys are well. My name is Louis Mendez and we'll be looking back at yesterday's 2-1 home defeat against the Imps at the Valley. Alex Gilby sent off in the game as well. Joining me to have that conversation first up, Mr. Nathan Muller. How you doing, Nath?
Yeah, not bad.
Yeah, first game back from holidays. It's like you never left.
Oh, well, that's what I mean. I think me and Tom bumped into a listener, Stephen Barnes, in the Oak, and I was saying, you know, hopefully we carry on the winning streak, otherwise it looks like I'll have to sort of exile myself back over to the Caribbean, which looks like might be possible.
Yeah. So, if yeah, I love you back.
Well, yeah, I doubt that. But yeah, apart from that, mate, you know, it is what it is. But yeah, happy to be here.
Excellent stuff. And also joining us on this week's show is Mr. Tom Wallin. How are you doing, Tom?
All good, thank you. Yeah, good to have Nath back yesterday. Saw his white bits, which was nice.
Yeah,
well, so yeah, good day all round.
Quite proudly, doesn't he?
That's actually that's a true story as well.
Though, oh god, good lord! I don't think we've got time for it, thankfully, right now. But I will ask you after. So on this week's show, as I said, we'll look back at that defeat against Lincoln. We've got the highlights coming up shortly. Also got some post-match reaction from the gaffer Johnny Jackson. I spoke to him after the game. We've got your reaction as well. We've got some fans bar. Reviews of the game, as well as some tweets and emails. If we have time, we'll look ahead to Tuesday's trip to AFC Wimbledon as well. But I mean, just before we hear the highlights then, Nath, it's a funny old game yesterday. It was like, if you're a neutral, I think it was actually a really entertaining game. Like, it started off quite open. Obviously, you know, we hit the bar. That was probably the best chance before, you know, Lincoln scored way too easy of a goal. Then the stupidity of the red card for Gilby, and then after it, it feels like we're sort of coming back into it. Then they get a red card, and it's even, and we're making all these chances, but we picked off at the other end, and then obviously get one back and miss another chance to get onto level terms. But in the end, it's not enough. In the end, it's another frustrating day. What were your views on it overall?
Yeah, it's just sort of something. Oh, it was a bit of a weird one, really. I think we started quite well. We quite positive, without doing too much. But I think overall, I think there was it was a game littered with unforced errors, really, on both sides. And as you say, defensively, in front of goal, silly yellow cards. And I think towards the end of the game, you know, I was just so frustrated. You know, to me, it seemed like it just fizzled out and started becoming one of those games which we touched on Thursday about trying to make sure it doesn't end up as a game that it just peters out and everyone's on the beach and, you know, and that sort of analogy. But that's the way it felt to me. But yeah, there were positives there and there were frustrations in there. But yeah, just a disappointing day, really. Cause, you know, Lincoln didn't really do too much, but they took their chances and we didn't ultimately, and that's what wins your games.
Yeah, it was a frustration one, and we'll delve more into the situation with Alex Gilbey, but it was almost certainly always going to go that way when, you know, we made all that build up about having a laugh about the 100 yellow cards and making a bloody graphic for Twitter for it and everything as I did, and then that came back to bite us 10 minutes later when Gilbey made exactly the same mistake.
Yeah, it was very poor from him, and he's obviously acknowledged that and admitted that today. That was pretty much the only thing kind of to say about the game, wasn't it? That 100 yellow card, which is mental, because obviously it doesn't really matter. But I think Nath said it yesterday. It felt a bit like a pre-season game, like in the crowd, on the pitch. You know, we are literally playing for nothing, other than, I guess, pride and contracts for next year for some of those players. But yeah, it just didn't, I don't know, I was kind of not that fussed about going. You know, it was pretty cold. There wasn't a lot. The actual game, I didn't think we actually played that badly. But yeah, it was just it just had the feel of a game that had nothing really riding on it. I know they're kind of flirting with relegation, but you'd imagine they're enough points ahead now. So yeah, it was just one of those days. Like I say, it was nice to go down, nice to have a few beers with Nathan and stuff. But the game itself was just a little bit of a disappointment, sadly, and kind of metaphor for the whole season, I guess.
Yeah, just cannot wait for this season to be over. Right, well, let's relive yesterday the highlights from Charlton TV of the defeat against Lincoln. Steve Brown was alongside your usual commentators, Greg Stubley and Terry Smith.
On the street as Whitaker goes down the Lincoln left-hand side, and there's an overload in the penalty area. Ball back across, a little back flick from Cullen. It's probably not what it needed. He may have had more time to do more with it. And Charlton escape. Now retreating to retain possession for Charlton, finds Matthews, ball into Washington, try to chest into Stockley, he does, and the shot, the instant shot, wide right of the post, but worth it.
Has found Gilbey on the right-hand side, it's a good ball as well, he's trying to take his man on, gets the ball across to Stockley, oh, the shot comes off the bar, maybe a combination of the bar and post, but the real first opportunity for the Addicts to open the scoring, and the woodworkers saved the visitors.
A lovely turn on Gilbey, he's bringing him back, still holding him, and that's a free kick. That might well be a yellow card, and it is. Charlton's 100th of the season. Be unaware that is
such an unnecessary booking as well.
Robson, that's a lovely pass to pick out Cullen, who's on the front foot. Farini out to the right to Whitaker in space. Takes it on his left foot, and there's enough Charlton bodies. But still, Whitaker has it, and manages to score. Numerous Charlton challenges came in. They couldn't get the ball off Whitaker. He just kept going on his left foot, kept going, and managed to find the bottom right-hand corner and give Lincoln the lead after 32 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, it's an excellent finish in the end. You know, you'd ask questions. They had a man over on the right-hand side. Why they got inside on, you know, of Clare on our right-hand side, their left-hand side, which started the move. You know, he needs to be tucked in. Protect the inside channel first, let it go outside. We weren't doing that. We were protecting outside, leaving the inside channel open. That allows the switch of play to Whitaker. And then we have three or four attempts to make get tighter and block that, and we just don't ever get it right. There's a challenge there. I can understand that one there, because if you don't get that right, it's a penalty. But look, even that block there again, have we done enough there to make a block as he gets his shot away? I'm not sure we have.
Great challenge by Robson on Gilbey, who drags him back, and Gilbey is on a yellow card, and the Lincoln players are surrounding the referee, and we might well see another yellow card. Here we do. Alex Gilbey has been sent off for two yellow cards. And Charlton 1-0 down, and now down to 10 men.
Got to be careful what I say. I was going to say something, now I had to change it, but it's a bit brain dead, right? So the first one's unnecessary, like I said, completely unnecessary, booking the first one. And the second one, you want to book in, so you pull his shirt back. And I'm afraid that's dead in the brain. you know you're getting booked for that, you know you're getting sent off, so you've actually let the supporters down there, you've let your teammates down there, you know. Curious one, because I'll never understand how a player comes to that decision when you're on a booking, and you know if you do the action that you've just produced is going to give you another one. I'll never understand that.
It's very rare in football as well, and there is a red card, that you don't see any players really complaining, and I didn't see a single Charlton player or fan for that matter complain about that decision. Brownie Charlton have to be a bit cuter with that, but there is the half time whistle after 45 minutes. It's Charlton 0, Lincoln 1. Step overs inside to Perrington in space. Inside the penalty area. Perrington with the cross towards the far post. Stockley with the header. Saved by Wright on the line. Charlton think it's over. I think Wright.
It didn't look over.
No, we got good position here, but I had to see that again. But Wright on the line.
I don't know why the keeper went so deep behind his line, but I think his hands were in front. I don't think that was over.
Heavy touch intercepted. Could Perrington get there for Chaddy Khan and Whittaker? With a horrendous challenge, and a referee has got a decision here, and that's a red card, and it's 10 men v 10 men. Oh, I think that's the right decision.
Yeah, I agree actually, Greg. I think that's a terrible decision from Whittaker to go in like that. It was a 50-50, but he just delayed his, you know, his challenge enough to allow Perrin to get there first. And once Perrin gets there first, it's the way he had that left foot, the boot was raised, so studs are showing. Just going to see another replay here from ground level. Oh, do you know what? I can see why he's give the red card.
Oh, I don't know.
I can see why he's give it, however. Okay. Yeah, that's why I'm not paid to referee, I guess. I'm not. Like, I can see why he's give that in real time, but when you slow it down, I'm not sure his foot
goes down the line towards Matthews. It's slightly short, but it's not cut out by Robson, and Matthews has it for Charlton. Down the line to Washington. Washington with the cross. Look at what Stockley with header! Saved again by Wright. And Charlton have the corner.
Yeah, but we're massively on the front foot, and the crowd sensing a massive momentum shift.
Mount attack down the left-hand side. Scully cuts in on his right, takes the shot, and it's buried. And that's where the danger has come from most of the game. And it's come from Lico taking a gamble, trying to cut out the ball across. He didn't get there, and as a result, Robson had time and space to pick out Scully, who then cut in on his right foot and gives Lincoln a 2-0 lead.
Yeah, against the run of play somewhat, you know, we've been on the front foot trying to find an equaliser. We've made some very good attacking substitutions, and goes back to that old saying, if you're going to go for an interception, if you're going to go and try and win the ball and you don't get it, clean them out, give away the free kick. However, beyond that, we allow Scully to do what? Cut back on his right foot, which opens up the far corner. And we've seen that just far too many times this season from us defensively. It's still a wonderful finish. It's scraped the underside bar and gone into the far corner. But get out there quicker. Get him on the outside. Don't allow him to get back on that right foot. 2-0.
Back to Forster-Kaski. Ball into the box. Stockley gets something on it. Headed off the line. And it'll be a Charlton corner.
Yeah, it was headed off the line, but it was a comfortable and easy header off the line.
Forster-Kaski with the corner. Looking for Stockley, who's made it. Gets a header! And there's the goal! Has that given Charlton a lifeline? Stockley read the flight of the ball superbly. Met the cross with the header. And Charlton are back in it.
It's arguably 10 times harder than the chance he had earlier in the game. That's a magnificent header from Stockley. Decent set-piece delivery, outswinger. I think it was from Forster-Kaski. And Stockley wriggles away from Jackson. He gets a little block off from Perrington, but that's enough. It's not, you know, done on purpose. He just gets in his way, and that's enough to allow Stockley a free header. But it's a magnificent header in terms of power and direction. Game on for the last, what, 3 minutes and add-on.
Stockley feels off. Forster-Kaski picks out Lee in edge of the penalty area. He finds Washington. Washington with a shot. Oh, just wide of the left-hand post. Charlton so close to getting back on level terms.
Into the box. Looking for Clare. Clare with the header up in the air. Sails over the bar. And that is the final action of the game. Charlton huffed and puffed after getting a goal back. Couldn't quite bring the sides level.
There we go. Thanks to the boys for the highlights of yesterday's defeat. Very busy highlights. A lot happened yesterday, Nath. I mean, what's the main talking point? Maybe the red card for Alex Gilbin. We'd already gone a goal behind, and we'll talk about the defending for that goal shortly. But, I mean, what is he doing? Come on, yeah. Alex. I mean, I know he's come out and apologised on social media, but actually, for me, I mean, that highlights how... Now, with the attention now on Alex Gilbey, he has become a bit of a talking point because of what happened yesterday. And actually, a lot of people have said, you know, this season's not been good enough from Alex Gilby, and I think he'll be the first to admit it.
Yeah, of course, and I agree. I think, you know, when Gilb signed, I was quite excited of what he's done in up until the point when he joined, and it just seems, I don't know, that I'm expecting a lot more from him, and I know he had sort of had COVID at the beginning, and he had that good spell at the end when he was going beyond the strikers. There were so many points yesterday where there was no one joining the forwards at all, and it was so isolated up there sometimes. But the yellow card's stupid. You know, you can't defend it. And yeah, Tom said that, you know, Gilb has come out on Twitter and apologised, and you know, he's not going to change it, but he's acknowledged it. And I think Jacko said it was naive. I could be wrong. I think that's what he said. But yeah, they're just silly. They're just, and especially is that they're exactly the same. And you talk about tactical fouls. You can do those, but they're not even sort of subtle. They're just blatant, and it just puts us under pressure unneedlessly. And then after that point, you know, we're going to talk about the goal in a minute, which was poor, but. And he just looking at the game going, well, what are we going to do now, sort of thing. So, yeah, disappointing. I think, as you say, a disappointing season from him. I know it's been a bit stop and start, but, yeah, I mean, I would expect a little bit more. But not just Gilbs. There's a lot of players that have not really performed as much as we probably think they should. But, yeah, it's been a disappointing season for him, and he's not really done himself any favours there. But, anyway, he's got Tuesday off, so...
Yeah, it's a good way to get out of watching Charlton, or indeed playing for them, I guess. The goal, then, the opening goal, Tom, Morgan Whittaker. I mean, it all started really with Sean Clare unable to intercept or make the challenge. And, you know, very similar to what happened with Jonathan Lico with the second goal, actually. But by the time it's worked over to the far side, onto our left-hand side, I mean, he had as long as he wanted to dribble across the edge of the area before placing that shot into the bottom corner. I mean, there must have been five players who could have stopped that.
It was madness, wasn't it? And the longer it went on as well, I thought, obviously I didn't want him to score for the other team, but I thought if he messes this up, because he had so much time and space, and then he takes around one player and then he almost loses it a second time and then tries to find space for a shot and can't. And I was like, I don't think he's going to pull this off. I think he's going to mess this up, and obviously eventually score, but made it so much harder for himself than he had to. But yeah, you're right. It was just, and I think you said it in the opening, or maybe just off air before we came on, the defensive side of the game yesterday was so disappointing, because we did create chances. Stockley probably, I would say, should have scored a couple more than the one he did. But it was that defensive shape, and I think if we could three or four clean sheets in a row, we'd certainly been a lot better defensively. And the personnel hasn't changed in that time as well. So it was a puzzling one, really, because we just looked so exposed at that time. There was another time, I think again in the first half, where they played a ball inside Corey, that ball that we've seen so many times in recent weeks. So there were just little glimpses of kind of falling back into those defensive mistakes, if you like. And so, again, it's going to be something for Jacko to try and iron out. I don't know if it was just laziness or lack of concentration, but as I say, when he picked that ball up, I assumed he was going to score. He made it hard work, but obviously got there in the end. And when you're down to 10 men, like Nate's just been talking about with the Gilby sending off, it's then very hard to see a way back into that game, particularly given we're not really playing for anything, and obviously we did almost get back in it at the end. But yeah, it was just a very disappointing goal to concede.
Because I mean, the rest of the first half, not a great deal happened, actually, and we certainly didn't look like we were going to get back into it. But I actually felt at the start of the second period, we came out reasonably strongly, even when it was 10 men against 11. You know, we had that Stockley header that I was so baffled when I saw the replay and saw it was, you know, not even anywhere near over the line. It was cleared off the line. Because when I was in my seat in the West Stand, in the gantry, it looked like it was miles over the line. It's just a weird sort of trick of the light with the goalkeeper almost sort of stooping behind his goal line. But I felt like we were starting to grow back into it. And then obviously the red card for Morgan Whittaker, you know, I actually, again, on second viewing, possibly slightly harsh. But, you know, then you think, right, we've got a chance here. And it's not like we weren't getting forward, Nave. That was the thing that I found, you know, frustrations run high at full time because we've got beat. Again, you know, I was disappointed. But until that second goal went in, I generally thought, right, we're on to this. I reckon we're going to get back into this game.
Yeah, and like you say, we started a little bit brightly in the second half at the start of that. But I think I mean, the way that Lincoln set up, you can tell by the opening sort of elements of the game. First half, they came to sit and try and catch us on the break a lot. They tried to put two on Dobbo throughout the first half, and in somewhat they couldn't really handle us, and so it went to a point where they were just saying, well, you can have it and we'll try and let you play in front of us because we know you're not going to really do much if you're playing in front of us. We're not a team sort of cut teams open. We rely on sort of our width and with Corey and crosses into the box and Washington running the channel. So yeah, it is a difficult one because yeah, after the game you are naturally disappointed. None of us like to lose, but I think like we said earlier, it was a combination of both the sloppy sort of mistakes that we were making, you know, the disappointing sending off and that, you know, the good amount of chances that we did create. I mean, Washington had a couple as well. So, but yeah, it was a disappointing day, but it's just one of those games. You know, if you lose a game and you get absolutely played off the park, which, you know, there are games, I think MK Don's game was one and there's a couple of other ones. You sit there and go, well, we just wasn't good enough. But when you actually do some good parts in the game and think you should score, and then you're still coming off second best against a team that was quite poor, to be fair, in Lincoln. Obviously, it just riles you up that little bit more, and the frustrations come out, and then yeah, you're gonna be naturally disappointed.
Yeah, especially when they got that second goal. You know, Jonathan Lico put on off the bench, and unable to make the challenge. You know, I think you can see what he's trying to do. He's trying to step in and win the ball and get Charlton on the counter, but he's mistimed it, left us horribly open. And again, we've seen a player cutting onto his right foot and curl into the top corner, this time in Anthony Scully, Tom. But again, you know, it just goes to show that yesterday their finishes were bang on, whereas ours were absolutely not.
Yeah, well, you look at the expected goals that I think you posted. Like, it was there, the game. You know, if it goes as expected, like obviously the phrase says, then we win that game, I think, what, 2-3, maybe? But it was another sloppy mistake, as you say. Obviously, we're chasing the game by that point, so he's brought Lekker on to try and stretch their defence. Obviously, it's been disappointing since he's come back in general, but yeah, gives the ball away. I think the attacker still had quite a lot to do. It was a tight angle and it was a decent finish. But again, just sloppy from our part, because when we give the ball away, you know, they're a long way from our goal. And at that point, I think we were probably 10 apiece, weren't we? Probably. So, yeah, just frustrating. And then, as you say, it goes 2-0. And by that point, you know, I'd assumed we had no chance of getting back in the game. I know we did get that late goal. But it, again, just kind of summed up the whole performance and the whole season, really. It's just got that feel of it, unfortunately. And I think, as you said a little bit earlier, we're just all waiting for this season to end now. But there is the formality of playing out these games, unfortunately. And for somebody like Jonathan Lekko, who, you know, has come on loan, tried to kind of kickstart his career again, having not done a lot of Birmingham, you know, that's the sort of performance where probably Jacko's looking at it and thinking, I can't wait to send you back there, to be honest. But he's the sort of player that you might be looking at and thinking, right, if he does come on, change the game, get us back in it, maybe that's someone that Jacko's then thinking, okay, maybe you're worth another go next year. So there are players like that you expect a little bit more from. But yeah, just another disappointing defensive error to concede that goal. As I say, the striker still had a lot to do. But yeah, you then find yourself 2-0 down. It just becomes very tough from that point on, doesn't it?
And obviously we did see Jaden get that one back. But I mean, we have to talk about the litany of missed chances yesterday, Nathan. You know, Jaden hitting the crossbar from close in, it's sort of a reaction one where it hit his thigh and went onto the bar. But there's chances for Connor in that second half, you know, and similar to last week, that over the course of the season, I mean, he's got 10 goals already this season. You expect him to have had at least one or two from what you've seen. I mean, is this a dry patch? Is this just what Connor Washington is about? He goes through hot and cold spells, and with Jaden himself, you know, there was a header that where the keeper made a decent save. Will you feel we could have put it to either side of the goalkeeper like he eventually did for the one that went in? But those two between them, even though Jaden's got two goals in two games, I think they both feel very disappointed with their return over the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, of course they will. I think, in terms of, you know, Connor Washington's chances yesterday, then yeah, he'll be disappointed. He obviously come out and said that he wants to try and, you know, try and score as many goals as he can. But we've got to, it's difficult sometimes when it happens, but we need to try and remember when it, with strikers at this level, if they were banging them in left, right and centre, they probably wouldn't be playing in League One. But he's a good finisher, and he's had a bad couple of weeks. And I said on Thursday, sometimes it is about getting in the right positions, which we did in Doncaster, but we weren't ruthless enough. He's going to be disappointed himself. And he just, you know, he's still, what, 1-3 for us, isn't he, I think, with his record, what he's played for us. But, yeah, he'll be disappointed, and there was chances that he should be taken, especially when, you know, it seems like he's taking more difficult chances, like the one against Burton, where he's, you know, chipping the keeper, and I think there was another goal like that. And we just need to be a little bit more clinical in the final third. But just frustrating, really, because you're just sitting there waiting for it to hit the back of the net, and it doesn't happen. But yeah, it just seems like it's one of those days. But the key for Connor is, you know, I know it's cliche, you just got to keep working hard, and it will turn. Because, you know, he's not a poor player. So, but yeah, hopefully it'll turn for him. And who knows, he might bang an hat trick on Tuesday, who knows. But yeah, it was disappointing, because I think we all know how good and what he brings to the side, as well as scoring.
One positive yesterday, obviously, Tom, was to have Jake Forsikaski back on the pitch. You know, he injured himself in the Lincoln game last season, which was the penultimate game of the season. Done his ACL. He's had those minutes, 23s, and he's come on sort of last quarter or so of the game, and he looked all right, actually. He obviously has supplied the cross in for Jaden Stockley's goal to pull us back into the game, and you know that will be a positive. And you'll hear what Jacko says when I ask him, but I guess now it's about whether he's going to earn a new contract at the club, whether he's got that ability to show that he's not suffering still from the injuries, and you know whether he wants to be part of it here as well, I guess.
Definitely, yeah, and we've had that discussion about a few of the injury-prone players, haven't we? Like the likes of Ryan Innes and people like that. I think Jake has probably got a little bit more rapport with the Charlton fans. He's obviously been here a little bit longer. I think perhaps we would be slightly more keen to give him a deal. And I think what he can bring to the team when he's fit, you know, I don't know how many others in the team can necessarily do that with his range of passing and his work rate from the middle. So particularly when you've got the likes of Gilby, who as we spoke about earlier, maybe not looking so great at the moment. So it was fantastic to see him back, obviously. I wasn't expecting much from him. I thought, well, let's just get some minutes in legs was kind of what I was expecting. But you're right, he did get on the ball a few times. A couple of corners, obviously, including that goal. And yeah, it's just a joy to have him back, I think. That midfield throughout this season has needed a little bit of kind of pressure on some of those players. And, you know, Albie Morgan has come in and then dropped out. And there's been other players that have done similar. Elliot Lee's had long spells in the team and then long spells out. And he's another one that we can throw into the mix. And I think, injuries aside, he's a very reliable player in there. Sort of 7 out of 10 every game. I can't think of him particularly having many bad games. Whereas I think some of those others, the likes of Gilby, Elliot Lee, Albie Morgan, they can sometimes go missing in games and then sometimes be very, very good. Whereas I think with him, you just get that consistency. So, yeah, if it was up to me, I'd be making sure he's here for another year. Obviously, we hope he can stay fit because I think he could be a big player for us. And was the last time we got out of this division. So, yeah, fingers crossed that he's over the worst of it now and yeah, can have a good little run towards the end of the season.
Right, well, let's hear what Johnny Jackson made of yesterday's defeat against Lincoln City. I asked him for his thoughts on the performance against the Imps.
Don't really know how we've lost it. To be honest, I thought we created enough chances to at least got a draw from the game, probably more, to be honest, but defeat it is. Disappointed with the two goals. And disappointed that we haven't taken the chances that we've created. So, game sort of deciding in both boxes, really, and we've come out the other the wrong side of it.
You don't want that to become a running thing, obviously, after last week, and there was a lot of chances being missed as well.
Oh, of course, yeah, we got away with it last week. This week we haven't got away with it, so, you know, clearly it's something that we need to address and that we need to work on, and we are. Positive is that we're creating those chances, and it will come together. There'll be a day where we score a hatful, but it's not happening. We're sort of scoring the odd one, so we need to, for the amount that we're creating and how we're moving the ball and getting into situations from box to box, the payoff needs to be more. We need to be scoring more goals.
What do you think, in particular the front two? I mean, they've had good seasons, haven't they? But the last couple of games, they just don't seem to be firing on all cylinders.
Yeah, they're getting the chances. They're putting themselves in the position to miss. And as a forward, you go through those little spells where you have leaner ones and you have spells where you're hot, but you have to keep getting in those positions. Keep trusting yourself, trusting your runs, trusting your teammates to find you, which they are. And then, obviously, you've got to put the finishing touches on it. So, yeah, we just keep encouraging them to get in those positions and it will come. The goals will come.
See, the last thing you needed after going a goal down was the two yellow cards for Alex Gilby. What did you think of that? I guess some fans were a bit frustrated with especially the manner of the second one.
Yeah, I think it's a bit naive from Gilbs there. Obviously, he got booked for pulling the guy back for the first one, and it was almost identical. So, you're hoping that he might get away with it. The ref might show a little bit of leniency, but he's been consistent. I think can't really argue with the decision. I think Gilbs would be disappointed with himself there. I think he just needs to be a bit cuter in that moment.
And the manner of the first goal as well, it felt like there was a number of chances where they could have got and blocked Whittaker before he got his shot away.
Yeah, I felt we could have been a bit stronger in the tackle there, in the challenge a couple of times, two or three times there, opportunities to clear the ball. He was a little bit tentative maybe because it was in the penalty box and didn't want to give away a penalty, but I think in that moment you have to be stronger defending your own penalty box. And it wasn't just one. I think there was a couple of opportunities there that it didn't deal with it. So, like I said, I was disappointed with both goals.
What did you make of Whittaker's challenge that led to the red card?
I've only seen it in real time. It did seem a bit reckless that it'd gone in sort of maybe over the top of the ball. I haven't seen it slowed down or a replay of it. Just my gut instinct was that it was a bit dangerous, but I haven't seen it back.
As Charlton was sort of pushing for that leveller at 1-0, there was a cross towards the far side and Jaden headed. I don't know if you've seen that one back from where I was. It looked like there was a reasonable chance it might have crossed the line.
It was impossible from where I was to see it. I haven't seen replay. I guess you guys would have a better idea than me. I think it's if the linesman, he can't guess at it, he has to be 100% certain. And I'm not going to argue with it. I don't think it was an obvious goal. Even if it did go over the line, it would have been very, very marginal. So difficult to be really critical of officials in that moment. You only really know in them instances if you've got the technology, don't you, that they've got in the Premier League. So maybe that one didn't go our way, but I don't really know if it was a goal or not.
I see one positive today. Great to see Jake back on the pitch after so long out.
Really pleased, yeah. Pleased to have him back. Delighted for the boy. He's been through a tough time. Put the graft in to get back, and that wasn't a sentimental decision to bring him on. I brought him on the pitch because I know what he can do, and I've seen what he's done in the under-23s games and in training, and he's looked good. So I knew that he would bring a sort of a level of calmness and experience that I felt we needed at that stage of the game, and I think he'd done that. I think he got on the ball. I think he picked out some good passes, which we know he can do with his left foot. Puts a great delivery in for Stockley's goal, so pleased to have him back, and obviously, pleased that it's another option for me in midfield.
Does he sort of go into the same boat as everyone else now? Is now his chance to try and play himself into a new contract the same as everyone else?
Yeah. Jake's been out a long time. He just wants to play football and he wants to show that what he can do. And, he's well thought of here. The fans love him, and I think he reciprocates that. He loves the club. So, he's someone that we're looking at, and if he can prove that he's over his injuries, which he seems to be doing day in, day out on the training pitch, and obviously now evolved back with the team, then it's brilliant. And for me, like, I know what he can do at this level, so it's great to have that option again.
Obviously, we weren't in the race, but today is the day we officially are out of the playoff race. I think the fact it comes six games from the end of the season show how much work there is to do between now and next season.
Yeah, I think so. It's been it's disappointing. Season, there's no getting away from it. We're at the wrong end of things. We want to be in that shake-up, and it hasn't gone that way this year. But we know how and where we need to improve, and I think we've got a real sort of strong nucleus of players that are with us next year. We can add the right types. Obviously, we are behind, and there's some catching up to do. But with the right sort of recruitment strategy and getting the right people in the building, I think we can bridge that gap.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Into the box, looking for Stockley, gets it in! And there's the opening goal! Charlton has scored, a delivery absolutely perfect from Albie Morgan, picks out Stockley, who rose first and flicked it past Fisher for the opening goal.
Yeah, and that is a very, very difficult ball to defend if you're a centre-half. I know you want to look at it from Stockley's point of view. He was aggressive, he got above the centre-half, he pinned him so he couldn't make a jump and attack the ball. And then once you've done that, it's just a case of getting contact onto the football itself and directed towards goal. He did that. We find ourselves one in front, but a delightful delivery from Albie Morgan.
Right, welcome back to Charlton Live on your Sunday evening. Louis Mendes, Tom Wallin and Nathan Muller looking back at yesterday's 2-1 defeat against Lincoln City. We just heard there before the break from the Addicts boss, Johnny Jackson. I mean, one thing that I don't think surprised is the phrase I use, because, you know, it's been a trope that people have been asking questions about for a long time. But yesterday, obviously, you know, it was a differing situation with the fact that we went down to 10. But I had a tweet today from a guy called John saying, you know, why were we playing five at the back? Now, is it not a little bit disingenuous to suggest we play five at the back, considering we play three at the back with wing backs? I know people, like, I'm not sure that tactically we were necessarily even wrong yesterday, because we created so many chances. And that, I mean, maybe there's been other games where the tactics haven't worked, but yesterday, you know, as well as last week at Doncaster, we last week at Doncaster, our XG was the highest in League One by miles, and we didn't finish it. Yesterday we were second highest. But I think the team that had a higher one than us certainly scored at least two, and obviously we only scored one. It's not like we're not getting in positions to score goals. So I don't think that the question after yesterday was about the tactics. This is my thoughts on it. You know, everyone's obviously entitled to their opinion. I'm not saying that people are wrong to tweet in or anything like that with their opinion, because I might be wrong on it. But the way I see it was yesterday we created so much. I don't think the formation was the issue. And saying it was five at the back, you know, I've got the heat map in front of me from yesterday's game, and I've just highlighted, obviously this is a harder feature on radio than it would be on Twitter, but I've highlighted on the heat map where our two wing backs were, Matthews and Blackett Taylor, and their average possession of the ball was, for Matthews, it was basically midway through the Lincoln half, and for Blackett Taylor it was as well, including some of it in the penalty area. And then I compared it just to see what their actual fullbacks were in a back four for Lincoln. Norton, Cuffey and Robson we're easily inside their own half. So it's not like we were playing with five rigid defenders. So I don't think that's quite the thing that we need to be saying, Nath. But, you know, Jacko must be fuming after yesterday, when I think he'll feel that tactically he got that right, because we created so many chances.
Yeah, I think so as well. I think in terms of, obviously, you said the heat map, and if we look at the back at the patterns of play of the game, then it backs it up, because we said we started well in the first half. We were more or less camped in their half, the first part of the first half, and the second half as well. So the only thing I can say is, if on the 5-2-2, whatever formation it was, that he didn't change it. The only thing that did surprise me is when Gilby went off was with a trio in the middle. I can't remember the other guy that was playing for them in the middle, but with a player of Liam Bridcutt and Conor McGrandall, so a good players who dictate the tempo of the game, I was more concerned of them winning that midfield against a flat two of Dobbo and
but Fraser. Did that happen? I mean, no, again, exactly. You've called it a 5-2-2 there, and it's not a 5-2-2, it's a 3-4-2 with the red card.
So a 3-4-2, then we could call it. So it doesn't really matter what we call it. It's at the end of the day, it's how they
no formation is going to be rigid. So if you play a 5-3-2, it's never like, if you're the left back of that five, it's not like you don't go, well, unless you're Ben Purton sometimes, and you don't go beyond the halfway line, then it is a flat five, but we never really play like that, so it's fluid. But my main concern was having Dobbo and Fraser as two centrals, and then you've got Conor McGrandles, Liam Bridcutt, and their one other buzzing around. They were going to dictate the game, but as you just said, they didn't. So that's what my concern was when Gilby got sent off. So looking at that way, yeah, I don't think Jacko did do anything wrong in terms of that. I was just surprised he didn't try and think, well, hang on a minute, we're 1-0 down, we don't want it to get too far away of us, so we couldn't try and get back in the game. But as you rightly say, they didn't dictate the game. They didn't, you know, put us under too much pressure, really. It was just individual areas, and we didn't defend those wider areas that in between our centre backs and our right wing back, if you were. But when you play that formation, that's where teams are going to go down, and we're just not defending people coming in, hence the first goal.
I mean, so we're going to hit the tweets right now, actually, Tom, but I'm just going to go further up because there's one that comes in from Stefan, which highlights the point that I think I want to discuss. And he goes, I want to just ask the panel if it was anyone else other than Jackson, would there be as much belief to give him another transfer window with the results that the team has had? We need to be real. Time is up. Same formation again. Obviously, I've spoken there about the formation where I don't think that was the problem yesterday because we created chance after chance after chance and we didn't take them. I don't think that's a formation issue. But I mean, as the results are, I mean, every time you have a manager come in, most would like to see him have a summer transfer window to see what he can do. And, you know, would that be any different if this was, I don't know, if this was Michael Appleton who'd some reason come to Charlton?
I think it's a difficult question to answer for a couple of reasons. The first being, it is Johnny Jackson. So whether we want to consider that being a factor or not, he is the man in charge and he has got a long history with the club, and that is going to buy him some time, rightly or wrongly. So I think we have to kind of respect that, maybe. And to that extent, I think, you know, that's one point. I think another point is, kind of what you're saying there, really. I don't think he's had enough time to really mould what he wants to do.
And it's not like he's the first manager who's struggled with this squad as well. You know, Nigel did exactly. Well at the end of last season. And he's got more of a tune out of him than Nigel ever did.
Yeah, 100%. And so I think he deserves time to make some changes. I think we've seen improvements in spells this season since he's come in. I know we've been on bad runs as well. But I just think it's such a little amount of time to judge a manager. I felt it feels different to it did, because I know Adkins didn't have that long either. But towards the end of Adkins' time, it was just very clear to me that his time was done. You know, there was no, whether he'd lost the dressing room or whatever, there was just no coming back from that. With Jacko, it does feel different. And maybe that is because of who he is. But if that's the case, then so what? I certainly think he deserves the summer. See who he can get in, see what he can do. If by Christmas, you know, we're struggling, then that's a different conversation. But yeah, at the moment, I'd very much like to see him stay and think he deserves that chance.
Lovely stuff. Cheers for your tweet, Stefan. Let's have a look at some of the other messages that have come in as well. Then Simon says, I thought we deserved something from the game as we should have had at least two before they scored. Jake Forster-Kaski was a major plus for us. He has been quality in the middle of the park that we've been missing. Forward, incisive passing and real quality as well from set pieces. Platy says, is a very telling fact. Yeah, there was one point during the second half yesterday where I was a bit frustrated that we had two counter-attacks and the midfielders weren't getting into the penalty area. And actually, that wasn't long after Jake came on, but then he did start getting into the area. Which is his point. But Platy says, I don't know what, but it felt like a lack of commitment at times yesterday. Sean Clare's length of the pitch run late in the game had only Connor in the box to target and no one for following for knockdowns. Hopefully Jake Forster-Kaski will change that. And I do hope that is the case, Platy, because like I say, after that first couple of minutes spell, and he did start getting into the area. We saw that header he planted well off target, but he was in there to try and get it in there. Right, Muzza said Jake did more in his 20-minute cameo than the rest of the midfield put together, bar Dobson. Still waiting for Fraser and Gilby to show up this season. New defence and midfield for next season, or at least, or we'll be staying a mediocre mid-table team next term. Yeah, we were chatting about Fraser, weren't we, Nath? You know, I think I've been quite consistent recently in saying we ain't seen anything from him yet. We ain't seen what I'm expecting from him yet, and I do expect more. You know, he is a good player at this level. We haven't seen it yet. Obviously, it's coming back from COVID, can't help. But I am hoping that next season, the Scott Fraser we see is a very different one to the one we've seen so far this season.
Yeah, of course. I think he had one assist, but I think, yeah, the Fraser that we all know and the Fraser that was here when he played for MK Dons, we haven't seen him yet. I know he had a little bit of COVID, and it just seems to me at the moment, I don't know what... So for me, he was anonymous yesterday. I don't know what his role is at the moment, whereas, say, when Lee... It, always in that number 10 role, that's where we struggle. We tried Albie there. Lee played there for a bit and started well and then drifted off. Fraser's come in. Gilby's been tried there. So I don't really know what we're trying to do at the moment because he's that playmaker. He's not that sort of player to arrive late in a box or, you know, get you 10, 15 goals a season. He's not that type of player. But it'll be interesting, yeah, how we get that balance next year if it is going to be a Fraser, Forster, Caskey and Dobbo. Obviously, hopefully Forster Caskey does get a new deal because I think he's a Rolls-Royce of a player. I think anyone at this level will want him in the team. So, and obviously, obviously we have brought Fraser in, I can only envisage that's the three that Jacko's going to go with next year. And it's just trying to find the key with Fraser is getting him in those pockets. And he's got an eye for a pass, and he's technically very good. So, but at the moment, sometimes he comes too deep. Sometimes he's in the wrong position for me. But yeah, he's still adjusting. And yeah, hopefully we can get that core three and then build around it. Because I don't think we were talking about transfers yesterday, and I think really I'm not. Obviously, the defence needs to be sorted out because I don't think we've got many left once everyone goes back. But and obviously Corey's doing well. I don't think we're too far away. I just think we've got average players at the moment, and to make a good title charge, if that's what you want to call it, we're going to need some two, three, or four really, really good players for this division.
Yeah, I mean, I'd hazard that we need a couple more than that as well. I think I still think we're quite far away based on what we've seen this season. Yeah, I mean, the season's already over. I haven't even, you know, mentioned what I asked Jacko at the end there. Was it five, six games from the end and it's already over officially? I know it's been over for a long time, but for it to be mathematically impossible at this stage of the season is, you know, embarrassing for a Charlton squad at this level. And, you know, Thomas and the manager will be very disappointed with how it's gone this year, for sure. Right, Jimmy said that we deserve more. Both at their goals came against the run of play. Another ref overdue an appointment at Specsavers. I'm glad it's a nothing game. Otherwise, the goal that wasn't given would have been so much worse. Looked in from my seat, but not seen the replay. What's your guys' verdict? Yeah, well, as I mentioned, I did track down a sort of different angle of it last night, and it is nowhere near in. But I understand why you thought it was in, Jimmy, because I thought it was as well. Richard said, I felt that Jake made a real difference. Hopefully he can stay fit when he comes on next season. Rachel says that poor officials in both games over the weekend, you know, including the women's game, they were beaten at London City Lionesses 2-0 today. Highlights from each game. Probably for the men's game, we're seeing Forster Caskey back for the women's game, hearing an eight-year-old girl tell one of the London City Lionesses player to get up, you big baby. Just one of those weekends. Yeah, it has been one of those very disappointing weekends. Right, let's hear some more fan reactions, shall we, from the fans bar feature. Benji very kindly went into the fans bar yesterday. Now, I don't know, I'm sure that They had a singer in there yesterday, right? Which did hark a little bit back to the Catching Mare DJ days, which is fine. And I literally was in there for about 15 seconds while I just waited for my wife to come out. And the singer was a good singer, but it was so loud. And I can imagine there was quite a few people who went in there after the game who just wanted to sit and chat with their friends and family who they haven't seen all week. I imagine there's a few people who are like, great singer, not the right time and place for it. So it'd be interesting to see what other people's views were on that. If you wanted to say anything about that between now and Thursday, let us know. But because of that, Benji had to wait until she shut up, basically, for 5 minutes to go and get some fans bar. But Ben did go and get some fans bar, asked a couple of supporters for their views on yesterday's defeat against Lincoln.
Disappointing not to at least get a point out of it. I thought we were a better team for large parts of the game. Yeah, Stockley should have scored 4. Just needs to work on his finishing a little bit. Yeah, Gilby needs shooting. He shouldn't play. No, he shouldn't play again for the rest of the season. But it just looked like he couldn't be arsed today. He just didn't want to play. which is disappointing because I like Gilby. I think he's done quite well for us. But yeah.
Yeah, I thought it was a good performance. I mean, I feel like Gilby really didn't do us any favours by getting sent off, like, and deservedly got booed off when he walked down the tunnel. Missed a lot of chances. Stockley should have had possibly a hat trick. Shouldn't have given the keeper an opportunity to save a couple of the chances. Yeah, I mean, overall, a good performance. Yeah,
Lee, I don't bother with Lee. He can go. Washington, I'd keep for sure. Purrington, I don't know, unless we can find someone better. But it depends if we carry on playing this formation. If we've got, because he can play the left back and also the left centre back or left wing back, so maybe. Fulsakaski's a tough one because he came in today and didn't really. He didn't really look very. Well, he did. He got the assist, but he looked off the pace, which you'd expect.
We've avoided relegation convincingly now, and yeah, I suppose people have got to, like, you know, prove that they want to be here. These players that are, you know, at the end of their contract, do they actually want to still be at the club? And yeah, we've got to show that in these last few games. So yeah, keep Washington definitely. Famwo, I don't know. I mean, Jackson's got a lot to think about. Not only him, his backroom staff and that. And yeah, who else? Who's out there that we can get? That's the other thing, you know. And who's coming up from the youth that we can, you know, put into the first team? I mean, I don't know. It's a tough one. It's going to be a big job in the summer, and hopefully Tommy gives him the backing and he gives him the time. Because what you don't want to happen is get players in, Jacko has a mixed start, and then he gets sacked, and then we're going to end up back where we are by getting who's out there, you know. So is Jacko the right man for the job? Hope so, but let's hope he gets given the time.
There we go. Thanks to everyone who gave us their views in the fans bar yesterday. Some disappointment at the end result. Let's have a look at some more messages as well. Oliver Wilson asking what's happened to Akin Famwo. Not involved recently. I think, Tom, I guess, I mean, do you think there's no sign of any injury? I know he had an illness a few weeks ago, but I think I just don't think he's being picked now. I just think, you know, he's not going to be our player for next season. Probably we're just not that bothered about playing him now.
Yeah, I guess it kind of suggests that Jacko's made his mind up about some of these players. And obviously, as I said, up until yesterday, we'd won three or four in a row, and we hadn't really rotated the team. So I think the back three, as they've been playing, have not been that bad, you know. So that's probably why. You know, I wouldn't have thought Adam Matthews would be in our best back three, if you like, but he's been playing well. Sean Clare, obviously, maybe not his preferred role. And Lavelle, I think, I know you might have a different opinion, but I think he's been more impressive and is starting to grow into the Charlton shirt over the past few weeks as well. So, yeah, Famwo, you know, he's been another of those players, like I spoke about earlier, who's been a bit up and down this season. You know, he's had some amazing games, probably man of the match type performances at the back, and then he's had games where he's made silly mistakes and goals probably have been his fault. So, yeah, he's another one that I think we'd have expected a little bit more from. But unfortunately, that consistency of performance has been an issue throughout the team. And he's another example of that. So, yeah, you'd imagine by the fact that Jacko's not playing him, that there's no, because I know we had that option to buy, but I'm guessing that's not something we'll be taking up the way it looks.
Yeah, certainly. Right, Duncan says, today's game highlighted how far off we are from having a promotion-winning team next season. For example, our much-heralded front two, who we can't do without, missed so many chances between them for the second match running. Lincoln, on the other hand, were clinical. The worrying thing is that I feel so deflated about how this season has gone and the performances each week that I can't bring myself to get animated about the Stockley should have had a penalty with his shirt being pulled when he had the header, which may have gone over the line. Yeah, I did watch that back as well on the same replay. I don't think the player has that much of his shirt from that angle. Like I say, I don't know if anyone's had a better angle of it, but you know, Jaden got a pretty clean header on it. But you know, maybe there's a better angle than what I've seen. But Duncan goes on. I ran out of patience with two players today. Gilby let everyone down with his stupid sending off, and Lico for the most half-hearted attempt at a tackle, which led to their second goal. I have to say to Duncan there, how on earth did you still have any patience with Lico before yesterday? But no, I get what you mean, Duncan. Yeah, you know, he's not, unfortunately, he's not been the player we were hoping for this season. Says, the only positives, moments of exciting play from Corey Blackett. Taylor, really pleased to see Jake back. Sean Clare and Dobson were positives, and only two more home matches to go. That's too many though, isn't it, Duncan? Right, it's Duncan in Orpington. Thanks for your message. That's a really good one. Cheers, Duncan. Right, our messages in the performances from certain individuals today. This highlights why we're miles off it. We have players that don't care. Lico should be nowhere near this squad for the rest of the season. At fault for the second goal and look like he just couldn't be bothered. Get rid of the deadwood and sign players who actually want to play for this club. The comparison between someone like Corey Blackett, Taylor and Lico is so wide of the mark. I hope that Washington and Stockley have their shooting boots on Tuesday. Let's roll on Wimbledon. That's from Al. Len says, hi all. The table shows we're about 20 goals short of being in the top six. We also conceded too many, but if we spent more time in the opposition half scoring these goals, then we would have spent less time in our own half conceding, especially silly goals. So I reckon if Sandgaard hasn't got the money for two 20-plus strikers, 20-plus goal strikers, then we'll still be in League One at the end of the season. I mean, the problem is, Nave, finding them, I guess.
Well, they're the premium, and that's the hardest thing to do in a football game, you score goals. So, and not only that, if we go and find someone who's on paper, we've got, you know, doesn't mean you're going to guarantee 20 goals, but if you go and get another striker, then we've got four players who are good at this level. I know some people. And how do you keep them happy?
Is Stockley a 20-goal season striker? Because he's not. He's got 16, 17 in all comps this season. And last season he got, 10, 11 when he came in for the second half of the season. So half a season last season got half of that total. Half a season this season, if you only look at league goals, he's on about half of that total, considering he spent, 4 months out injured? I still have a bit of faith in Jaden, if I'm being honest. Last two games haven't been great from either Jaden or Connor. But I do think especially Jaden's got the ability to, you know, get there or thereabouts 20 goals.
Yeah, I think so. There or thereabouts. I mean, in terms of next season, I'm happy with the three that we've got. I just think we need someone else, something similar to Connor. I think someone with a bit of pace, works a channel, someone like Mavadidi or something like that. Because I just think we lack a bit of direct sort of pace if Connor's not there.
Someone like what Lico should have been, but isn't really.
But yeah, basically like Lico was when he played with Lyle, something like that, really. But yeah, I think Jaden he's good for this division. I know as long as we don't go too one-dimensional like we were at times with Nigel, I think you can have players that work off him. And obviously I know it's been disappointing in the last couple of weeks with Jaden and Connor in terms of the chances that they've squandered. But there's also been games where, you know, they've linked up very well and they scored a couple and, you know, it's worked. So it's just finding that right balance. I mean, we're all looking for that one player, sort of Bradley White Phillips ilk, can't we, really? But like you say, finding that person, it's not going to be cheap. And let's say we did find John Smith, for example, and then, you know, he had the pedigree of doing that. How are then you going to keep those four strikers happy? So that's why I can't see much changing at the top end of the pitch unless some miracle happens. But I just think, I know it's disappointing, but I think sometimes we just got to, I think I'm with you, mate. I think Jaden could be up there especially that he missed quite a lot of the season.
Yeah. Right, McSquare says, take some woeful finishing again, some sloppy defending again, and add a dash of idiotic fouling. What you've got is a recipe for disaster. Obviously, being 10 versus 11 for 20 minutes didn't help. But Lincoln were already in front by then, and by the time we did score, it was far too late. Lico's non-challenge for Lincoln's second goal was a disgrace. I would be happy not to see him in a Charlton shirt ever again. I'm afraid his time is well and truly over. Gilby must be looking over his shoulder after his performance too. The one plus was the return of Jake Forsikaski at long last. It was clear from the very beginning that he's lost none of his class. Hope for the future, at least. That's from McSquared. Cheers, McSquared. Good email. Phil says, hi guys, what a difference Jake makes. I don't feel we played that badly. We just don't have the players to play a wing back effectively. and the majority of the goals we've conceded since JJ took over have come from a ball played over the top into the full-back position, and the oppositions are building from that ball. If we played 4-4-2 using Matthews or Gunter and Purrington as full-backs, I feel that entitlement would cut out, and obviously every team coming to the Valley has not only done their homework on that frailty, but exploited it in most cases. Our other failing is our conversion rate, but probably... we probably create amongst the highest number of chances in the most games in the division, but we're only converting one or two, which is probably around 10% of those chances. We are never going to get out of this division. We need a striker that's close to 50% conversion rate and more goals from midfield, although that may come now that Jake is back in the reckoning. I can't believe that Gilby was so naive, having already been booked for a similar offence, and his red was straightforward, although again the referee punished Charlton players more than he did Lincoln, who committed a number of reckless challenges that went either unnoticed or unpunished. Looking forward to see Jake back on the start, hopefully, on Tuesday. That's from Phil. Yeah, good points, Phil. And then finally, Ken says, I just watched the whole game. Again, not sure what Stockley was doing in the second half. Looked like a seagull flapping around to pinch someone's chips. Much better in the first half, he said. Much better in the second half when we used the wingers and not his. deserved a draw, but we were too wasteful. Jake, though, showed a different level of class when he came on. That's from Ken. Cheers for that, Ken. We have got a little bit of time to look ahead. Well, we haven't really, but we'll do it anyway, to look ahead to Wimbledon, Tom. You know, was it 22 games without a win now, I think, Wimbledon? So we all know exactly what's happening Tuesday.
Almost certainly, yeah. We had this against Doncaster, really. It's just one of those games that you've just got to try and go and be very professional. And if you do that, then you'll win the game, I think. The stuff that I've spoken about before, about the complacency and the fact we're not really playing for anything, could potentially cause us a bit of a problem. But I think it will be a little bit like yesterday, really. I think if we don't get all 3 points, it'll probably be down to us making mistakes or us kind of causing the issue, as opposed to them sorting it out. I know they've brought a new manager in, which sometimes can make a little bit of a difference. But so far, obviously... hasn't. But yeah, it's going to be the sort of game we should be going and getting 3 points. But as I say, at this stage in the season, with the little that we're playing for, then there's always that chance of complacency. So hopefully Jacko's got them up and ready, and we can go and do a professional job there.
Yeah, Mark Bowen, the man at the helm, obviously former Charlton man at AFC Wimbledon, and they lost at last minute up at Sheffield Wednesday in his first game after Paul Robinson was sacked last week. Yeah, shame for him. He was a nice bloke, but didn't obviously wasn't working out for us. I mean, obviously no Gilby. So I'm hoping it will just be a straight swap for Jake on Tuesday. That again, I'm not sure how many other changes I'd want to make to this side, even though we are disappointed. There's no one I'd want to swap like Jaden and Connor for. I'm not bringing in Burstow or Lico to replace them. So really, in terms of changes, Gilby for Forster, Caskey. Anything else you're desperate to see, Nath?
Well, I mean, with Jake, it just depends how they're going to manage his minutes, especially, you know, we've got a couple of games, so I don't know if they're going to... Hopefully he does, because obviously I love Jake, but, I mean, for me, we're safe now. I'd shove Nigel on there. I really would. I'd just give him a go. If he's training and, you know, he's doing well in training and everything's going well, just give him a go. We ain't got nothing to lose. But, yeah, if it's not, I'd rather Jake go in there, straight swap. Then you'll probably have Fraser in the 10 still. Don't see any problem with that. Yeah, apart from that, I don't think anyone really had a really poor game, apart from Lecco when he come on. But if it's not Jake, I'd put Niall in there. Just give him a go, see what he's about. But apart from that, yeah, I don't think... The only thing I would do is that on the bench, though, is like if Jacko knows that some players aren't going to be here next year, I wouldn't put them on the bench. I'm not saying...
End up with an empty bench.
Well, do you know what I mean? Like,
end up with Nathan on the bench.
This is what I'm doing it for, mate. But no, if he knows that Fanway's not going to be there, put Deji on the bench. You know, like that's all I'm thinking. Is if he knows they're not going to be here next year, just experiment a little bit. Like, enjoy yourself. Let them express themselves.
Yeah, I'm not sure if Deji Aleriwe's still carrying an injury, but he might be. I can't remember. I haven't checked the 23's running order for a little while, but we'll see. Right, I think we've done enough. We've looked back at yesterday's defeat against Lincoln and ahead to Wimbledon as well. So thanks for everyone who's tuned in to this week's Charlton Live. Thanks for everyone who's had your say as well. You're always more than welcome to do that. Make sure you email us studio@charltonlive.co.uk or tweet us at Charlton Live if you want to have your say on Thursday's show, where we'll be looking back at the game against Wimbledon, then ahead ahead to, I think it's Rotherham next weekend, who won the Pepperoni Trophy today, so they'll be on a high. Right, thanks to Nathan and to Tom for joining us on the pod this week. I'll drop my microphone right at the end there.
Cheers, boys. Cheers, I'll see you on Tuesday.
Good to speak to you, a pair of you. I'm Louis Mendes. Thanks for listening. We'll see you again on Thursday. I actually had access to a couple of tickets to Wimbledon today. Obviously, you didn't seem interested, Tom.
I'm not that fast. And then, I had Nafe's ticket, give it back to him, and now I've got plans for Tuesday. So,
And he got a profit. He got a £3 profit from me.
How?
Yeah. Because it was £22. So I transferred him £22 and took the ticket. Give him the ticket back yesterday, and he transferred me £25.
£3 for inconvenience charge.
Why did you do that? Now? Did you just not realise how much it was?
No, I knew it was £22 because I looked at the ticket. But then, because it's a ground he ain't been before, he was like, "No, it's fine." But I felt bad, so I gave him £3. He's like, "I don't really give it anyway."
I said I was going to buy it back off him again and just keep doing it.
buy it back off me for a tenner.
Yeah. Ticket tat in your own ticket to someone else. You are an idiot.
I know. If I do it enough times, I can then just buy my own ticket anyway.
do it for your season ticket, man.
Yeah.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.